It's awesome. When God touches, it's awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Get your Bible out. Turn to Matthew 15. God is so awesome all the time. God is awesome. I always had to stand on this. God's always got his hand available. If we'll just trust him, God will do something for us. Every now and then, though, we find ourselves in a faith crisis. How many has ever been in a crisis of faith? Matter of fact, let me just ask this. How many times? I promise you, I can't count on my hands and toes the times that I had a crisis of faith. But remember what I said at the very beginning. Spiritual warfare is 10% what Satan sends and 90% how we respond. Your faith crisis is already sent by Satan. There's times where it's sent by God, but no matter which one, how you come out of this, 90% is what you do. So we're going to talk about the challenge of faith. Give God the crisis of faith. Get your Bibles out and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Stand for the reading of the word. You can even turn to Mark chapter 7. I'll just read two different versions of this same event. The three Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels, and there's a reason why the last synonyms. It's believed that there was one major writing that talked about the works of Jesus. And so, the first three Gospels, they actually took that writing, and they put their own twist on what they saw. John, they were written soon after Jesus died. The Synoptic Gospels, on the other hand, John's Gospel was written closer to the end of the first century. And John, 60-70% of John's not found in the first three Gospels because he said, y'all, I think some more stuff could be added to this. So John takes it a little different direction. So knowing that still, Matthew and Mark both speak of this event. So we're going to read about both of them. You got your Bible, say amen.
Yeah.
You don't say on me? Matthew. Matthew. Chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thus and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. Whoa! Whoa! She's coming with everything she's got. He won't even talk to her. That's what it looks like. His disciples came and saw him saying, send her away. She cried after us. That is getting even worse. Now, if she's not talking, the disciples says, get her out of here. This is the Canaanite. She's cursed. She isn't a cursed people. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but the dogs will eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And thy daughter was made whole from the very hour. And let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And from this, he arose and went through the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but it came up, but it could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. This woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him, that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, this is a very dangerous situation because she doesn't belong in the house. She doesn't belong to Jesus. in a situation, and it looks like she's even risking her own life to come in to be to talk to Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be filled." Was not me to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs? And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, hit the dogs under the table, eat the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, and the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid up in the bed. Now, stretch forth your hands this way, ask God for a special anointing and touch. Father, we love you, and we praise your name. We thank you for your grace, we thank you for your mercy. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. We know, God, that you got us no matter how we feel, no matter what we say, no matter what Satan tells us, no matter what other people tell us. Your word says that we are covered by your blood. Not only covered by your blood, but we've got your watchful eye upon us. And you're working for our good if we love you and are asking you to help us work according to your purpose. Ask you right now, Lord, to bless us, to minister to us, Lord, and to help us, Lord, to do what is good and faithful in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And church said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Look at each other and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone.
That's right.
You're not here.
No. All right. You know, a young man went to the dentist. And the dentist said, "Try to relax. I'll pull your aching tooth in 5 minutes." Lost the tape. Basically, how much is this going to cost? The dentist said, "It'll be $2,000. The patient said, "That much for just 5 minutes' work?" The dentist said, "Well, if you prefer, I can pull it out very slowly." It's still going to cost the $2,000. Again, you know what? Today, hopefully, that you're going to see why your faith is being challenged. And we're going to take it slowly, but still, we're going to find some things I think will be very beneficial to everybody in here. Now, why does our faith have to get challenged? If we have an all-knowing God, an all-seeing God, a God that can make anything happen, God's got all things under control, God's got this, then why must our faith always seem to be challenged? How many has had your faith challenged in the last week? How many has had your faith challenged in the last few days? How many has had your faith challenged today? Amen. It seems like our life is a series of challenges. So why does our faith have to get challenged? You know, well, let me just kind of redirect that question. I just ask it, has your faith ever been challenged? Here it is. There's times. Watch this. There's times when Satan challenges us. Did you know that? Satan challenges our faith to produce doubt. Think about it. When Satan, whenever Satan produces or whenever Satan challenges our faith, is there to produce doubt. Then there's times where God challenges it. God allows challenges, which may be the exact same challenge, but God allows it to produce determination. So here's the difference. There's doubt and there's determination. Now, either way, it always starts by bringing us to a crisis of faith. What's a crisis of faith? Actually, a crisis of faith is when we feel our spirit, our trust in God. I believe that God is going to work everything out and we're going to get the good out of this. Gets challenged. We're thinking that God's going to work one way and he works another way. We're expecting God to, like Bethany, I was really, Lynn and I and her family were all expecting Bethany to to make it. They even told us that it's a possibility she can make it as far out as 10 years. That was one of the things they told her. She may make it 10 years. And even further, because by that time, we'll have something to help take care of this. But instead, she didn't even make it a year. So God did not handle it the way I thought he was going to handle it. I would expect the best to be in the hospital most of the time, and that even the cures were killing her. So, what's this? It starts by bringing a crisis of faith. How we respond to this crisis determines our destination. What do we mean by that? How we respond when your faith is put on the chopping block, when your faith is put on the punching block. How you respond determines if it leads to more doubt or it leads to more determination. Two different things. Doubt is negative, determination is positive. Doubt keeps going backwards, determination keeps pressing forward. There's a lot of times that it's not necessarily going to be easy, but you got to press. I remember years ago, I had no idea that we were going to go through with my wife dying and leaving the church and going to the family and start working at family. I had no idea when this stuff was going to happen. You know, I had no idea all this was coming down. But I remember a lady who was very, whenever she told me something, especially spiritual, I would listen to her because she was pretty much on the mark every time. And she wanted a tune one Sunday, and she said, I can't even say this. I had to write it down. God woke me up in my sleep. And she handed, I wish I could find that piece of paper. It's in one of my Bibles somewhere. But she said, you're getting ready to go through some extreme challenges. She said, it's going to be very extreme, and it can even make you, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, doubt that God's got his hand on you. But you need to know that God's telling you this now, and to know that God is, well, I've never had this said before, ever. God is going to pull you through. Not push you, not walk along beside you, but pull you through. I had no idea that Mary was going to get sick and that she was going to, she was already sick, but I had no idea that it was going to wind up being the way it was, and that we had to leave the ministry for a while so she could get some rest and get some recuperation, and still she died. But I remember all this stuff, remember looking back and thinking, God, why have they been here? And within 6 months, I realized why I was there. I became their chaplain. And God, I mean, it's just amazing how all this stuff happened. But there was a time there, about 6 months, where literally God pulled me through. It was the greatest crisis of faith I believe I've ever had up to that point. Now, so remember, how you respond is going to be doubt or determination. I'll say it, doubt. Or determination. The choice is yours. It's not God's. It's not Satan's. It's yours. Doubt or determination. So now, let's go a little bit further. We're going to really, you know, this guy here is actually making, how many of you ever seen Forged by Fire on, I think it's the History Channel, where they make swords and they make all kinds of things? Yes. And when they're making them, they're forcing it into fire. You know what? I remember a guy at work come and told me, he was crying. One supervisor came to me, he walked to my office, and he was just crying. And I said, what is wrong, man? He was a big guy. Matter of fact, he might have been a policeman, and he's a bad to the bone too, but he was not bad to the bone that day. I said, what is wrong? And he said, well, my kid said, my wife's pregnant, and they want to take the baby because the brain's not developing. And so I don't want to take my baby. And said, I don't know what to do because it said the brain's not developing. And I said, and the Lord talked to me, and I wrote this down on a piece of paper, Genesis 22, the Lord. And I walked down to his office, put it on a piece of paper, and I stuck it up on his desk. And when he came down his desk, he saw it and said, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Abraham, his faith was tested. God said, this is going to be your seed. And God said, you're your seed. sacrificing. God was testing him. Some of y'all are here today, you don't realize it, but you're going through some very powerful tests. And these tests will actually be so hot and so powerful that you'll be so tempted to doubt. But trust me. Trust God. If he has to, he will pull you through. And a faith that has not been tried by fire cannot be trusted. Peter says, more precious than gold when your faith has been tried by fire. Now look at these people here. Why did Abraham? Why did Moses? Why did Saul? Why did David? Jeremiah? The disciples? Paul? Demas? All had in common. You know, yes? Here's what they all had in common. They all had their faith challenged. Abraham was the father of many nations. But Abraham wound up lying. He wound up cheating. He wound up with some crazy mess. God said, his faith was challenged. And when it was challenged, he didn't always get up to the plate and think Abraham was a very powerful man. And he was. But there was times that he let the challenge make him doubt. When he told Pharaoh that his wife Sarah was his sister, because he didn't want to get killed, and now he takes his wife, his sister, or his wife that he lied and said it was a sister. Now, the Pharaoh's going to pull him into his harem, and they're going to pull him into his harem. God comes to him in a dream and says, that's not how this works. Sarah was Abraham's wife. And so he goes there and he says, what has she done? Abraham's having a crisis of faith. And in his crisis of faith, he found himself losing. Dowling. Moses. Moses said, you have to have somebody else, God. I want to try it. It didn't work. But Brother Moses said, you're the man. And no, I'm not the man. He said, yes. But in his first crisis of faith, he blew it. So, God picked him as a king. But Saul did it his own way. He went to the witches. He did all kinds of craziness. He hunted David like a dog. And Saul lost out because of the crisis of faith. David, of course, had his own crisis of faith when he was being hunted by Saul. He handled it correctly. When you look in his life, down on the way, you'll see there's times where he had doubt, there's times where he had determination. Doubt, determination. But still, he was a man after God's own heart. Jeremiah, the disciples. But then Demas, Paul's disciple, said he has forsaken me because he loves his present world. He had a crisis of faith and he said, okay, determination of doubt. I'm taking it down because I got things down here that I really need to do. So all these people had their faith challenges. Everybody here is something we've all got in common. We've all had our faith challenges. We've all... found ourselves with a crisis. In fact, I'll be all right. I lost it early. I got it back just last night. And I think I'm trying to think it back. If you don't mind me hocking it up, we'll be all right.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm trying to ride the frog. I can't ride it, so I've got to try to speed him out. Ready? They're all challenged. And it all came as a crisis. Wow. Some did great. Some of us didn't do so great. This woman was about to discover this too. This woman was not even a Jew. This woman was on the outside. She was not supposed to be on the inside. She was not even supposed to be in that house talking to Jesus. But she was willing to risk it. Now, this story. Over there. Just give me the crumbs. I love it. This little story, the first time I read it, it confused me. It confused so many people that you hardly ever hear it preached. And I think part of the reason that it's hardly ever preached is because it is actually sounds like Jesus is being hard on her and taking advantage of this woman and tell her to get out of his face. That's all it's about. You see, again, it gives us insight. All of us, every day, when I face this challenge. This mom's daughter was experiencing hardship. It was out of the mother's control. You know, and all these bad things going on here is not in your control. And this causes the hardship. You wish you could change it. You wish you could do all kinds of, but you can't. And say, God, where are you at? Why aren't you listening? See, she doesn't understand. So she takes it to Jesus. That's a fix it, shouldn't it? Huh. Now she really don't understand. She's already trying to figure all this out. She's got this big crisis. She knows it's spiritual because her daughter is next to the devil. So here she is. She's trying her best to take it to the only one she knew could handle. Religion couldn't handle this. The only one that could handle it was Jesus. And she goes to him, and it's like he's not even listening. No. All of us can relate. All of us. Then the times I prayed, and I thought, God, the mind, is it hitting the ceiling and coming back down? God is even worth me even praying because I don't think you heard a word I said. Maybe I should just live it like it is and let it hit where it may. There's one thing I don't like to say, and I don't say it. It is what it is. Really? It is what it is. What's that saying? Well, that's absolute thing. I have no choice in the matter. I'm going to shut up because it is what it is and nothing's going to change. Okay? I serve a powerful God. I might not understand that. I'm still going to go to him. You see, great success can give us encouragement. I promise you I'm going to get through this. Why was it I caused her to risk limb, life and limb? Why was it? And I mean, once she was empowered by great love. Her love for her daughter was more powerful than her unworthiness. Her love for her daughter was more powerful than her fear. Her love for her daughter was more powerful than her shame, her hardship, all of these her sacrifice combined. How many here, you would do anything for your spouse or anything for your children or anything for somebody you knew that needed help, you would give it all. That's how she was. And she was literally laying it on the line. Wow. I was really empowered by this because though I'm doing a funeral today for a Green Beret. A Green Beret. They got a combination of accommodation for saving lives over in Vietnam. Wow. He got MIA. And they had the wagon go to mom's house and say, he's gone. We don't know where he's at. MIA. And so for 3 weeks, they were in turmoil. They thought he'd been captured or killed in action. They found out that he had malaria. He was still out saving people with malaria. And he wandered into the jungle with that malaria. And his training was so ingrained in him that he survived in that jungle 3 weeks but still didn't know where he was at. That's what he found. It's very powerful. And this same guy, today, I get the honor of laying him to rest. But he had a great love. I don't care about his great love for his wife, his great love for his family, his great love for his country. He didn't do anything. Wow. So now, you get ready to dig down. Y'all ready to dig down? So I said, oh, wow, Pastor. I'm trying this box. I'm trying to cast him out. If he gets cast out, y'all don't pay attention. Just keep on going. Here it is. It seems like her whole life had been a series of tests. My test, all about yours. Mine's been a series.
Mother was more than a chore. That was home was more of a chore than a pleasure. But she finally, here it is. Here's this problem that she's got. She finally gets Jesus' attention. So she's thinking, here comes some relief. But she wanted to speak to what she got. She got more tests. Wow. God, I thought we brought it to you to be taken care of, but instead, you get more tests. So watch this. These tests were not for Jesus' benefit. They were for her. And they were also for us. Let's keep on going before I do finally lose it. I'm getting ready to show something right now. They'll either make you holler and I'll scream again. Since you read it. If you're interested, you will do what is convenient. But if you're committed, you'll do whatever it takes. That's powerful. My whole life, I've lived by that. And my whole life, I've said, God, let me commit. Not just be interested. Let me commit. So watch this. Here's the test you had to pass. First, she passed the test of patience during divine silence. Because she goes to Jesus, and he says, not a word. Wow. Whoa. She's known that her daughter's vexed of the devil, and she needs Jesus. It's the only answer. She was living life and living in liberty. She risked it all and going to his house to get before him. And he won't even talk to her. Ever been silent when you pray? Have you reached out to God and reached out and reached out and reached out and got zilch? Got crickets? Got nothing? Okay, God, I've been trusting you. I'll put my faith in you. I'll give all of you. Where are you at? Didn't even hear me. Know this, God's silence is not neglect. Here's what Papa's got to talk. When nothing's happening, just not have Bethany talking. When nothing's happening, something's happening. Nothing will be. So I don't like the other Papa's tracking you, talking in here. When nothing's happening, something's happening. Say one more time. When something's happening, something's happening. Amen? See, God's timetable is not ours. Get ready. I got to sit down. This is some good stuff here. This is going to plow way down there. Matter of fact, I believe somebody's going to get some relief as this service is going. God's timetable is not ours. God's wisdom exceeds our wisdom. Let me tell you something. We're seeing things this way. My wife, we got this two of those kids. We had three kids, and one of our granddaughters got one of the kids, so we got two kids now. We had them, because we believe God sent them there. Remember I told you a feral cat came in our garage and laid three eggs? Well, we got all three of them, so Linda said, well, I believe God sent them, so one's called G-Gyro, one's called Oatmeal, and one was called Dora, G-O-T. We didn't plan, but Dora was the one that got adopted out, so now we got to go. And man, oh man, do they go. Woo! I don't know how they got that kind of energy. But you know what? God has a bigger picture in mind. All I saw was three little kittens. And then it was really kind of crazy because the Lord began to speak to me. And it began to speak to Linda. Well, we were apart. For the last 6 years, we've dealt with death with my daughter, our daughter, and with her parents. Three of them.
Bethany with cancer, her mom with Alzheimer's, her daddy with vascular dementia, and all the things that were going down. I'm still doing it. I'm still trying to handle everything, even now. But there's 6 years, and if you want to put all of it in, there was actually about 10 altogether. The last six were concentrated, but we had to deal with death, dying, and deterioration. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "How many?" I said, "Why did you send us three cats, God?" And he said, "How many? What's you been doing for the last few years?" So we're taking care of death. He said, "Well, guess what? I'll let you have some life. Three of them." I said, "Well, thank you, Lord. God told them the same thing while we were apart. So no, God sent them. But see, God sees a bigger picture. Last night, she put a mirror down. And this cat in that mirror saw herself. They were attacking the mirror. Some were running away from the mirror because all they could see was up right in front of them. It's funny watching how they were doing in that mirror. But Linda and I were sitting up, and we knew it was the mirror. They didn't. We knew what was going to happen. They didn't. And when they responded, when we saw what we didn't do, we took care of business. But that's how God is. We see now put back sparkling. We don't see everything, all the things that are happening. And God's put things in place. And you got to wait for God to put everything in place, and then it's going to be taken care of. Now, then when God was to fashion us into Jesus' image. So what he does is, he holds our faith, he holds our trust, and he holds our patience. Then she passed the test of doubt and discouragement. So when Jesus is not talking, now her disciples come, and they urge him, "Just send the woman away. She's not one of us. Get him out of her." Hard times always brings worry. Hard times brings doubt. It brings discouragement. Matter of fact, when you go over this stuff, if you're not careful, everything looks like the worst case scenario. So God gives us comfort, and God gives us assurance that he's going to walk through the valley of death with us. We just got to trust him. And here's the final one. She passed the test of rejection. Because after she said, "Send away," he goes, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Wait a minute. That sounds like Jesus didn't come for the entire world. But John 3:16 says, "For God gave his son that whosoever, believes in him, should not perish, but everlasting life." John the Baptist sees him coming over to Jordan. He goes, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." The disciples were told to go out on that Pentecost, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. On that day, every known nation was there, and they heard the wonderful works of God in their own language. So what's this mean? "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel." You see, Israel got so tied up in religion and got so tied up in the legalism. And what happened is, as they were getting tied up in religion and legalism, they were being destroyed on the inside and the out. Jesus was coming for the world as the Savior of the world, but he was coming to God's people first, the chosen people, because the chosen people were going to be the ones to go out and give to all the world. So what's this? He wasn't saying, "Have some believe that I'm not here for everybody." What he was saying is, "My mission is to prepare my people to go out into the world and bring the message to everyone." If you'll see the two times when Jesus says, "I've never seen such great faith," both times it was by Gentiles that came to him. So Jesus was okay with Gentiles, but his main mission was to prepare his people to go out and bring all the world in, to go out into all the world and then bring them into Jesus. So, let's look at it on a different level. Let's not look at it as Jesus was not for the Gentiles. He was very much for the Gentiles. Look it up. We'll see. This is a case of rejection. Have you ever felt rejected by God? I'm not talking about ignored. I'm talking about rejected. I'm not talking about being pushed around by other people. Have you ever felt rejected by God? It's a very powerful statement. Do you know that there are great heroes in the Bible that felt the rejection too? But we should understand something. Rejection, or what you feel is rejection, can actually be a manifestation of God's love. Wow. That's deep. You're not the only one that's ever felt God's rejection. Ruth, Jonah, Jeremiah, Hezekiah, and many more, they felt the rejection of God. They all felt it. But she's where they saw God, and in the middle of this rejection, they found favor. And sometimes God's trying to see is if you're just going to Him for convenience, are you going to Him through commitment? I found out in my life, whenever God's rejecting me, is to see if I'm going to keep going forward, or I'm going to let something matter stop me. It's a very, very powerful, powerful thing. If we're not careful, we'll just let it go right over our head. Not realizing that a lot of people suffered this rejecting feeling before God used them mightily. So then, one more. Closing. We're getting ready to close. Which means what? Nothing. So first thing they'll say, then do it. The disciples, they sent him away. Then Jesus says, I'm not even sent here for you. I'm sent here for my people, the Jews. But you said, well, just look, he goes, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's what he said to her. She was at the mercy of God. We're here to show you I've been hundreds and hundreds of times. I've helped people that were in the same spot. She had no leverage, no bargaining chip. She had nothing to wow God with or offer exchange. And when we get in this position, such a place makes us feel vulnerable, even out of control. But when standing before God, I promise you, it is a safe place. Anybody ever been there? Why does God allow these tears? Why does God allow our faith to be challenged? Why does God allow the faith crises? Number one, it was amazing because I was in the internship program. And I was being so challenged because we read 28 books and the Bible and three more books all in 8 months. First, I was working swing shift. And I was at Brother Hasten's disposal. And we had a 7-week revival during this with the Franklin brothers, Jensen Franklin and Richie Franklin. It was right after this that they lined up, Richie Franklin or Jensen Franklin was dating a girl that lived in Georgia. And it wasn't long after this, he was in Georgia with her, and her daddy died, and he took the church in Gainesville, Georgia. That's how he wound up legally being an evangelist in North Carolina. He went to be a pastor in Georgia. I remember how tired I was because it was a 7-week revival. I was there just about every night, except when I was on second shift. I remember getting off third shift with Brother Hasten, meeting me there, going to left for work and doing things for the church, or sending me to a hospital somewhere or something. And they had a schedule. And I'd read 3, 4, 5 chapters in a book a day, and I'd read, I don't know how many parts of the Bible a day just to get through the Bible. And it's like, months it was tested. Every month was tested. Because once a month, went to other places. Went to Fayetteville, went to Smithfield at my expense for 2 days for counseling and for training and testing, make sure we've been reading all this stuff. I remember coming in. And I've been making it in the high 90s, and I was so tired of the revival and the swing shift. Oh, God. And plus, I had 3 other books I had to read because I was getting my license. And it was just, oh, God, it was overwhelming. And Daniel was not feeling good. Daniel was sick. So we had all this going on. And I remember we went to Fayetteville or somewhere, and for the very first time in 8 months, I made below a 90. I've been making it into high 90s, high to mid 90s. And this week in my testing, I made like an 88. On the Bible and all of his books I was reading. Brother Hasten said, I'm here, Brother. I said, yes, sir. He said, why did you make this? I said, 88. I thought he was going to say, poor fella. I know that you've been having a rough time. I know your son's sick. I know you've had a 7-week revival. I know they're working you to death at Procter & Gamble. I'm working you to death, too. That's what I was expecting. And he looked at me and he said, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. He said, don't you ever bring me anything below a 90 again. Do you understand me, son? I said, well, y'all seem pretty nice. Y'all saw the nice Brother Hasten, about the one I got. The one I got was in his 50s. Y'all see the one that's in his 80s. That's a big difference. And I'm like, here's good. I'm not the same person that he was their coaches and not coaching their daughters and 2 or 10 things. He says, do not ever bring me below 90 again. Do you understand me? Yes, sir. He said, now get out there and lead this service. But I'm not ready. Yes, you are. Do it right now. I want a devotion, and I want you to pick out 3 songs and lead the service. He said, you heard me. Yes. Yes, sir. Have you ever asked me, said, why did I say my shit? Yes, I didn't tell him I made 88. And she said, well, what happened? Was he nice and was he kind and did he understand? And I went, no. She says, what you going to do? I said, I'll never get below 90 again, I promise. Next time I went like a 95, she said, that's more like a broken neck. Well, one of the books I read was about dry places. And where is God in the desert? And that book I read, talking about when God lets us go through the dry places in our life. And I said, that's me. That's me right now. I'm reading all these books. I'm going all these places. And Brother Hasten's working me to death. We got all Procter & Gamble's working me to death. And I'm trying. I mean, my TV's broken. I didn't even fix it. I didn't have a TV for 8 months. My boys had a little black and white. And we had fun to watch the news. We go to watch it. At time, I was reading. Or go. And when I got this book, it helped so much that it said, when you're walking through the dry places, that's when God is teaching you to walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith and not by feelings. Who said, and God will not allow you to have to walk through this if you were not ready for him. The servant mission woman, she was in a desert spiritually. First thing he does, he teaches us not to walk by faith, or to walk by faith and not by sight. The second thing it does is it prepares us for promotion. Because every time I find myself in a crisis of faith, or I find myself in a deep battle, or in a desert, if you can just work your way through it with God, something good's coming. Because by the time they've done all this in this woman, you know what? How many would think that just for the very first time she's not talking to you, sleep? Okay, you don't talk to me? Fine! Nope. The disciples, send her away! She's a nobody! Would you walk away? If you were doing convenient, you don't walk away. Then Jesus says, I'm not here. Look, I can't give you what I'm supposed to give to my people. I'm not going to give you the bread from a children's table. If you're just looking for convenience, you don't walk away. He says, even the dogs eat the crumbs. And that's what Gentiles were considered, the dogs. And when she said that, instead of walking away, just doing what was convenient, when he heard her say that, she kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming. She would not leave it alone. And when he said, I'm not giving you the bread for my children, Israel, when she said, I don't need the bread, just give me crumbs. And that might make it even more powerful right now. Back in that day, they did not have napkins. Back in that day, they made bread. And it didn't have utensils, so while you're eating, in order to clean your hands, you took the bread. You were eating it too, but you took the bread and cleaned your hands. And you would throw it in the floor. And the dogs would eat. So it's not just crumbs. It's considered waste. And she said, even the dogs eat the waste. I do that. Wow. And he said, I've not seen such a great faith. Look at this great faith. He says, go home, your daughter's okay. Wow. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then, it's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. Stand with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. Thanks for the word. Oh, woman, your faith is great. Be it done unto you as you wish. Jesus certainly knew about this woman's faith. But know this, the great faith brings great rewards. It took courage. It took a spirit that refused to be deterred. Her faith was tested, and she passed the test. I was going to try to sing this thing, but I knew that number one, my voice was going to do this. I was concerned to do this. This is how it's been all week. So I just wrote the words down. I'm going to read it.
Y'all might know where I'm coming from in just a minute. Letting go of every single dream. I lay each one down at your feet. Every morning I'm wandering. Never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you'll be by my side. You ready? When you don't move this mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't want the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry to you, I will trust. I will trust in you. Next verse. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So all these things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. You're my strength and comfort. You're my steady hand. You're my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go that you've not already stood. When you don't move this mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't get the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. This week's assignment. Get ready. I've been trying to do this now for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Something that you can take away. Hopefully you can take away more than this. But if you didn't take away anything from it, I want you to remember this. Now, Brandon, get ready to come play something, bro. When you face adversity, instead of living in constant why, I know people right now that are trying to go through things, and I try to bring comfort. And they go, but you don't know what I'm going through. And I go, no, I don't know what you're going through. But they go, no. And then they go, why? And so I don't have an answer. But I do know that God said, and they go, why? If that's the way you're going to live when you find the Christ of faith, then what's going to happen is you're going to be very disappointed. Instead of living in a constant why, try asking God what. What if you've allowed this, God, what are you trying to teach me? What level are you trying to get me to? Why are you showing me, God? And I'm going to go even deeper. Next time you face a bunch of this week, instead of asking why, ask why. And instead of, get ready, because you're going to think I'm all going wrong, Bert. That's okay. I hear it all the time. Try thanking God for the adversities. Thank him for them. When you thank God for your adversity, try changing your outlook. Get ready. Get ready. I ain't lost my mind. I promise you, boy. I probably had not for this. Try changing your outlook from, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I hear it all the time. Why is God letting this happen to me? Changing it to thank you, God. For I realize this adversity is happening for me. Why? Because if it was not for this adversity, I wouldn't grow closer to you. If it was not for this adversity, I would be going for convenience instead of commitment. If it were not for this adversity, I wouldn't see you on different levels. There's three very powerful, powerful times of challenge. I talk about it all the time, the woman mother dying. I didn't understand it. She was 56. I thought she was going to be around a lot longer. She was my faith partner. At the time, me and her mother was going to church with my family. She was my faith buddy. And I did not understand why she was dying. And then she died. And even on her deathbed,
It was just me and her sitting there, and she had to tell me to let her go. When I told her she could go, it's just a matter of hours, she's gone. But it changed my ministry, it changed my life, it changed my account of a lot of things. And then when my wife died, again, I hated it. Oh, boy, she was worth the enemy. But it changed me in a very positive way. And then when Bethany died, that's the worst of all. In my training, all I said, the three biggies is the death of your parents, the death of your spouse, the death of a child. That's the three biggies. And I did not want to experience all three of them, but I did. But instead of why, I learned to say, what are you trying to teach me, God? And instead of arguing with him, I thanked him for the adversity. And instead of saying, why are you letting this happen to Bethany and us? I said, I thank you, God, because in all this adversity, something's going to be good. And it's like Bethany. Bethany, her story has been told for almost 6 years in the heroin unit. And those guys are where God's got this presence. One guy back died of the heroin unit because he was fighting. And you know, 60 days in, three or four times, he's talking and you see his team Bethany racing. And last week, the very last shots was his hand with team Bethany racing. I said, Bethany girl, not only did you talk to the heroin unit, you were talking all around. The other guy said, can we get one of those? No, you can't, because you can't have them there. That guy's got one when he brought in with it, but it didn't happen. And God told me, they've been as far as Pasadena. And to see people with that bracelet, and they get talking about Bethany to a person that's a perfect stranger. But it's known that God's still using her, even though she's gone. It's crazy. One lady, one of the guys got a B5, and he's working in a good gal in the drive-thru. And he gave the money, her order. And she went, I like that bracelet. He goes, yes. She said, where'd you get it? He said, a very special person gave this to me. And this was his daughter. And he didn't know what one was. I didn't either. She driving a nice fancy car, getting this stuff. And she goes, I bet you like it. And she goes, yes. And she went to give her her money. And when she gave her money, she was wearing one too. I said, you go, girl. You go, girl. You go, girl. You go. I don't understand. I just don't understand. But I've watched God move in so many powerful ways that I know he's still there and he's still doing. I still love this. When you don't move the mountains, I need you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't get the answers as I cry out, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Why? Everybody's there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And you found yourself. for you. I wish I had answers. I don't. The ones that have all the answers won't always tell you what they are. He wants to go past the beans.
And he got to come in.
And you'll find out, as you go a little ways, God will give you some crumbs. Some have one little purpose. Let you know he's still there and he's still working. You just gotta trust him. God is so awesome. If you're here today, always do this first. If you're here today, you're not supposed to, you got to be with God. Nobody looking around, nobody keeping their head up, keep your head down and look around. If you're here today, you're not supposed to be black and blue. But just hold a hand up so I can pray with you. Bless the Lord. Bless. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself in some challenges that you really didn't look for, or plan for, or expect. But they're here. And hopefully they gave you that insight. You're going to go backwards and down or forward to determination. Are you inconvenienced and God needs you to be more than convenient? God needs you to be committed. And that's where you're at today. You need God to give you some bolstering, some lifting up, some strengthening. Every hip out, every eye closed, you put a hand up and say, I need some bolstering. I need some strength. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Let them know, God, you got them. There's something powerful taking place, even as we speak. I want us right now to pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you that you know me better than I know me. I thank you, God, that you know what I need better than I know. And I trust you. Even when my faith is challenged, I thank you for what you're doing. And I know, God, that you have this. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Tell me this week to change my attitude and my outlook toward my Christ Jesus of faith. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. After saying the Lord's Prayer, Brother Benny, I was dismissed the prayer. After saying the Lord's Prayer, who brought us here? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we do for those who are sinners.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today, Lord. As we get through the coming week, be with us and guide us, and when necessary, carry us through the trials and tribulations that we run into. For we know they are coming, but we know that with your help, we'll get through them and come out stronger than we've been. In Jesus' name we pray.